The name of Hashem is not even mentioned in the Megillah once. In other words, the events of Purim, if we understand the word Nes, or Nisa in Aramaic here, in the Gemara and Arachin, if we understand the word Nes in the way that people tend to understand it, that is to say, in the sense of a supernatural event beyond the bounds of the natural course of events in this world, then we can't understand what the Gemara is saying. Because the Gemara says there was a Nes on Purim, and therefore why don't we say Hallel? And the Gemara has to resort to the answer, which is the third line from the end, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lefi She'en Omrim Shira, Al Nes Shebechutz La'aretz. The Gemara has to say, because the events of Purim took place, as we know, in the Persian Empire, not in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it was not a national salvation for the Jewish people, which involved national independence and an overall change in the condition of the Jewish people. Rather, was just a localized, even though it affected many people, many Jews, and many Jewish lives were saved. Nevertheless, it was a localized event which didn't alter the fact that Jews were still in Galut. That is what it means when it says this was a Nes in Chutz La'aretz. In other words, the Gemara does not state that there was no Nes during Purim. It says there was a Nes, but it's the wrong kind of Nes. For this we understand that a Nes is not necessarily what people tend to understand it to mean, which is a supernatural event. To understand this point further, what really is a Nes? What does the word Nes mean in essence? Well, let's spend one moment understanding the word, the source of the word Nes in Hebrew. The word, the Shoresh Nun Samach Nes, actually means in Hebrew a banner or a flag, such as a banner in an army carries on a flagpole or something or other above the unit when it marches, when it travels, or any kind of banner. Anything that can be seen from a distance is referred to in Hebrew, and the Tanakh is a Nes. As there's a pasuk which says, it talks about Nes Harim, a banner or a flag that can be seen on a mountaintop from a distance. A Nes, therefore, is something which stands out, something which can be seen, which is not the usual event, not something standard and regular. We don't take notice of regular, simple events, day-to-day occurrences. We don't remember such things. Day-to-day occurrences are just like every other day. We don't remember them. Things that remain in our memory are the unusual things. A Nes is an unusual event. It doesn't have to be a supernatural event. It has to be an unusual event. When there is, as in the case of Purim and Megillat Esther, when there is a series of unusual events and occurrences and coincidences, what seem to be coincidences, which lead to a very unusual and very happy conclusion, that is an unusual event. That's something which sticks in the mind. That's something which we notice, and therefore it was understood and was seen by the Chachamim, by the people, to be something which was organized by Hashem. It wasn't something you could possibly expect to occur in the normal way of things, and therefore we know that it's the work of Hashem, and therefore we celebrate Purim. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying here in Masechet Arachin. There was a Nes, there was an unusual event, and there was a great salvation. There's no question there. The Jews in the Persian Empire were saved from a terrible decree of being put to death. So there's certainly the criterion of, for saying Hallel, you would think, had been met. In other words, Jewish lives, many Jewish lives, had been saved. Nevertheless, this is not the case. The Gemara has to say that's because it was a Nes that took place in Chutz La'aretz in a situation of Galut. And in a situation of Galut, that's not a sufficiently complete turnaround in Jewish existence to warrant saying Hallel. So we see from this Gemara that the word Nes doesn't necessarily mean a supernatural event, and the same applies to what the Gemara said one moment before about Chanukah, that we say Hallel on Chanukah not because of the oil, we say Hallel because of the victory against their enemies, which was won on the battlefield, also not a supernatural event. It was certainly miraculous in the sense that the Six Day War was miraculous. And that's also a Nes in that sense, and that's how we should understand it correctly, without a doubt. That the normal way of things, on paper, you wouldn't have a chance. And yet, we did succeed. And that must be the hand of Hashem. And that is a typically Jewish way of looking at historical events and seeing things in the right perspective. That doesn't mean that the word Nes always means a supernatural event. So, to return to the the thesis that I proposed before. There are two aspects to Hanukkah. One is lighting the candles, and one is two mitzvot, I should say. One is lighting the candles, the other is saying Hallel, and they each commemorating two different aspects of the events of Hanukkah. One refers to the Nes Pach HaShemen and to the Chanukat HaMizbeach, and that is the essence and the symbol of Hanukkah. In other words, the victory of the Jews over the Greeks at that time, in those initial 3 years of the rebellion, which ended successfully, so they were able to return to Yerushalayim and clean up the Mikdash and reenact the Avodah, the sacrifices, etc., in the Mikdash. These events are symbolized by the candles, because that was the first mitzvah they were able to perform in the Mikdash when they arrived on the scene. And the Hallel is said because of the victory, because of the great salvation, the Yeshua, and the tremendous change for the better that took place as a result of these events in the lives of the Jewish people in their land, as opposed to in Persia. And that's why it's a very major event in the Jewish people's history, more major than Purim. And that's why we say Hallel on Hanukkah, not on Purim. There's another sheet with some sources that you have, which is this sheet here. It says page 170 at the bottom. I don't need a copy, I have this one here. And this is from Gilat Ta'anit that I quoted earlier. I want to just read together with you a few lines from what we have here in this book called Megillat Ta'anit. This is a book that is also not always so well known, which is unfortunate, because it's a very, very essential and central text if we wish to understand many, many things that we find in the Torah, such as Hanukkah, for example. Megillat Ta'anit literally means the book of fasts or days when we're not allowed to fast. It actually includes both kinds of days. If you look on this page that I copied, page 170, you will see, for instance, it says near the top of the page, it says Mishnah Kaf Gimel. In other words, it's divided into chapters, into Mishnayot, as it were, but these are in Aramaic, not in Hebrew. And that is so that the average person will be able to understand it, because the vernacular in that period of history amongst the Jews was Aramaic. The Mishnah states in Aramaic, Be'isrin wahamshab be, on the 25th day of that month, meaning Kislev, because it's talking about the month of Kislev here, Hanukkah timmanaya yomin, the commemoration of the Hanukkah for 8 days, dilala mispad, during which time we are not allowed to mourn or to fast. In other words, what we have here, this is the essential text of Megillat Ta'anit. Megillat Ta'anit was really is a series of dates on which it says, on this day we mourn for this reason, on this day we are not allowed to mourn for this reason. In other words, on this day something bad occurred, on this day something good occurred. For the most part, it refers to happy events. All these happy events, almost without fail, have to do with the previous events that were not so happy. In other words, because of persecutions by different ruling powers that ruled over the Jews in the Greek, usually in the Greek period, it's referring to this period of Hanukkah precisely, certain days were memorialized because on those days the Jews had a certain victory in battle against the Greeks, or because a certain edict was lifted or what have you. In other words, it was a day which stuck in the memory of the Jewish people, and it was enacted by the Chachamim as having some halachic status as well, that these days had to be celebrated at least to some extent, so that you could not mourn and you could not fast on such a day. Now, beneath the Mishnah, we have a series of Beraitoth, which are in Hebrew, which come to explain the very brief, the telegraphic statement of the Mishnah, which we just read. And I'll read the first one. It says Gemara, and I'll read what it says Mipnei shenichnasu yevanim lahechal tiu kol hashmanim shebahechal. This is exactly the same as the Beraita which appears in Masechet Shabbat that we read earlier. Timu kol hashmanim shebechal. The Greeks entered the Mikdash. They caused all the shemen that was stored in the Mikdash to become tameh. Ulo yalehim shemen nadlik bevet hamikdash. When the Jews re-entered the Mikdash, they had no oil that was tahor. Uchashe gavru bet hashmonai venitzchum. When the Jews were victorious against their enemies, badku velo matzu shemen. They could not find any oil. Ela pach echad. They found only one container. Shem unach b'hotamosha kohen gadol, shelo nitma, only one that was still tahor. Ulo haya bo lahadlik leyom echad, it should have lasted only one day. Ulo na'asa bo nes, v'hidliku mimeno et hanerot shmona yamim. This is, and it lasted for 8 days, and this is one event that's it's mentioned as a fact that occurred, and therefore it says l'shana acheret kevaum shmonat yamim tovim behalelu v'hoda'a. Again, based only on what we see here, just as we mentioned earlier, one could be forgiven for thinking that it's because of this event of the oil that we say halel, that we have Chanukah altogether, but this is not so. What we find, if we continue, I continue exactly from where I left off. It says, "Umara ula asot Chanukah shmona yamim." This is another brayta. This is a second brayta, which also comes to explain the events of Chanukah. And it says, "Why did the Chachamim enact the celebration of Chanukah for 8 days?" V'halo Chanukah she'asa Moshe b'midbar lo asa ela shiva yamim. If the reason, says the brayta, what's being said here is as follows: if the reason for celebrating Chanukah is because of the rededication of the Mikdash, which is in Hebrew Chanukat HaMizbeach, Chanukat HaMikdash, so which should be logically for 7 days. Why 7 days, not 8 days? Because we find that when Moshe put together the Mishkan, there was a 7 day period of Chanukah, of dedication of the new Mishkan. That's what it says here in the Braita. Moshe did it for 7 days. Shene'emah v'petach oyel mo'ed lo tetzeh shivat yamim. I skip a line or two. V'chen matzimu b'chanukah she'asa Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beit Mikdash in Yerushalayim, and he also did a Chanukah, in other words, a dedication and a celebration for 7 days. She'ne'emar ki Chanukat HaMizbech asu shivat yamim v'ehag shivat yamim. He celebrated Shlomo and the entire Jewish people 7 days before the 7 days of Sukkot. So they had actually a 14-day period of celebration, and therefore, why in this case, in this third Hanukkah that we have in the time of the Chashmonaim, why did they do it for 8 days? Umar ra'u la'asot Hanukkah zo shmona yamim. The answer is now given. Ela, b'yime malchut yawan nichnesu bet Hashmonai la'echal. When the Jews entered the Mikdash after having defeated the Greeks, uvanut hamizbeach, they had to rebuild, as I explained earlier, why they had to rebuild the Mizbeach. The Saduhu Besi, they had to paint it white. And all this takes time, things have to dry. You can't paint on wet stones with wet cement. Everything has to dry, everything takes time. They had to rebuild and repaint. The Tiknu Bo Klei Sharet, they had to produce certain vessels and implements for the Avodah in the Mikdash, which were all stolen by the Greeks, as we explained before. And it took them 8 days to prepare everything. In other words, the 8 days commemorates the amount of time that it took for them to put everything right and prepare everything so that they could reinstitute the Avodah and the Mikdash. So the second brayta, just gave us the explanation why do we have Chanukah at all and why 8 days, for the reason that we just explained. And then it goes on to say, the second half of the same brayta says, Umara uda liktanirot, why do we light candles? In other words, the first question was, why do we have Chanukah at all? And why do we say Halil? Why is it celebrated? And why for 8 days? But now the question is, and what about candles? Lighting candles is a relatively unusual mitzvah. We don't have such a mitzvah in the Torah, except from the Mikdash. So why do we light candles? The brayta says, "Umara u ladikat hanerosh, ela bimei malchut yawan nichnesu b'hashmonai lahechal u'shmona shifudim shebelzel ayu be'adam." They found, as we explained before, 8 rods of iron, v'chipum be'etz, and they covered them in wood, v'idliku, and they made a menorah, and they lit it. V'yumitaskim b'hem kol shmona, and this was part of this was the, as I said before, this symbolized the entire reinstitution of the Avodah and the Mikdash and all that took place during those 8 days. And the candles was the first thing they were able to do, and therefore it stands out as the symbol of the whole event, and therefore we light candles to celebrate that event. In fact, it doesn't even mention, therefore, the Nes Pach HaShemen in this Breita. And then it goes on to say in the same Breita, and why do we say Halel? Umara uligmo behemet ha-Halel. You see clearly that the Breita differentiates between why do we light candles and why do we say Halel. Two separate inyanim, two separate ideas and concepts. So the brayta continues, "Umara ulig mor behemet halel, ela lamdecha, to teach us shekol teshua uteshua shakadosh baruch hu oseh lahem Yisrael." Every time Hashem assists us against our enemies and brings about a salvation and saves us from disaster or from death or enslavement. Hem makdimim lefanal behalel uveshevach uvehoda'a. We recompense Hashem, so to speak, and we thank Him by saying halel. Kinyan shenema ve'yanu behalel uvehodot l'Hashem ki tov. Ve'omer l'Hashem ha'yishua l'mechav yechatech ha'sela. That is the end of the quote that I want to read for the meantime. In other words, what we see here in Megillat Ta'anit and the Brayot that come to explain what it says in Megillat Ta'anit is that lighting candles is one issue, and it's for a particular reason, as explained, and saying Hallel is for a very different reason. And it's if we come to compare or to juxtapose these two events and these two mitzvot, the Nes Pach HaShemen on the one hand, and the victory and the salvation of the Jewish people and the freedom, both physical and spiritual, that they gain through these events, if we have to juxtapose these events, if we have to compare them and decide which is the more important, there's no question. I'm about to finish and then I'll be happy to answer questions. There's no question that the major part of the event, the more important aspect of Chanukah, is not the oil. And that is exactly what the Maharal that I began this shiur with, and now that I will also end with, said to us. And that is what I repeat now by reading the last few lines under the bottom of this page of sources, the bottom of source 4, at the end, the last paragraph. The Maharal said, as we read earlier, V'od yesh lomar she'ikar ma shekavu yemei Chanukah, the main reason, the essential reason for celebrating Chanukah, is because of the victory over the Greeks, over our enemies. And then the Maharal went on to explain that nevertheless it's very positive and beneficial that it was also a supernatural event, which is like the icing on the cake. But we all know that when you eat a cake, you don't just eat the icing. The main part of the cake is the cake, and the icing is an added benefit. It's something which is nice, but you wouldn't just eat icing by itself. In other words, the fact of oil lasting longer than normally would be the case is like the icing. That in itself would not be a reason. You wouldn't make a Bremen Emozonot on icing. You would make a Bremen Emozonot on a cake. The real event is the victory and the salvation of the Jewish people from their oppressors and their return to the Mikdash, which is the focus of the Jewish people's national and religious existence, the reinstitution of Avodah in the Mikdash after a period of at least three and a half years when no Korban had been offered, as is mentioned in Sefer Makkabim. This is the essential event, this is the watershed event in Jewish history, which, by the way, was the event that saved Judaism altogether. None of us would be sitting here if it wasn't for the events of Chanukah, and not because of the oil. Whether oil lasts or didn't last, as we said before, is not so essential. The events of Chanukah and the repercussions of those events are the reason that we're all sitting here today. Without this, Judaism would have been extinguished. The Greeks were quite successful up to that point in enforcing Hellenization upon the Jewish people. There were those who did it willingly, there were those who even came up with the idea, who thought up the brilliant idea in the first place. And we know about such people even today. If you for a moment compare the events of then to the events of the present, you will very quickly, without much imagination, find the parallels. There were Jews who instigated these policies, there were Jews who willingly went along with them, there were Jews who went along with them because they were forced to, because they had pain under pain of death, etc. And there were Jews who refused to go along with it. But nevertheless, without this rebellion and the success of this rebellion, this revolt, which resulted in an entire transformation of Jewish existence in Eretz Yisrael, as a result of which the governing of the country fell into the hands of Torah-believing Jews, as opposed to either Greek goyim or Jews who were much like the Greeks and not very different from them. The whole atmosphere of the country changed. Torah again could be learned, etc., etc., and this changed the events of the ancient world, the ancient Jewish world, entirely. And this gave strength, also moral strength, to Jews all over the world who were also suffering persecutions at different places at different times, to stand up to their oppressors and somehow survive. And therefore, let me end, before we go on to questions if there are, let me end by quoting from the last line of Al-Hanisim, according to the Nusach, as it appears in the Rambam, and in the Siddur of Sa'adia Gaon and Siddur of Amram Gaon, and in other ancient sources, where the Temanim, for instance, and I think the Sfaradim also, at least some of them, have this Nusach to this day, which is roughly in these words, Kishem she'asita nisim u'guvrot la'avotenu, ken Hashem Elokeinu aseh imanu ba'et hazot. Amen. Chaim was first. I can't hear, I'm sorry. Well, in all the sources that we read, we find that the number 8, or the 8 days, are associated with both, with two things. Both, on the one hand, there were two questions that were asked. Let's put it this way. There were two questions. One question was, why do we have a celebration that lasts 8 days? If it's because of Chanukah, the reinstating of the Mikdash, etc., then it should have been only 7 days, as we see with Moshe, as we see with Shlomo. That seems to be the usual way of doing things. So why 8 days? So there the reason was given that they celebrated, they commemorated the 8 days that it took them to refurbish and clean up the Mikdash and get it back into working order. The other thing that is mentioned with regards to specifically with the lighting of candles, but not to the question why we have 8 days of Chanukah, but why we light candles at all, is because of the Nes Pach HaShemen, because the oil that miraculously lasted longer. There's also actually a third reason, by the way, which is mentioned in Sefer Makkabim, which I didn't mention, but I'll mention very briefly now, and that is that it says that in Sefer Makkabim, when it describes the celebration, the first day they began to celebrate in the Mikdash after having prepared the Mikdash for 8 days, it says that Chanukah, as we know, the day that they began was the 25th day of Kislev. That was the day they began the 8 days of celebration, after having prepared the Mikdash for 8 days, which means that it took place this time of the year, which, as we know, is only a couple of months after Sukkot. In other words, what happened during Sukkot? They couldn't celebrate Sukkot because they were in the middle of fighting. They were in the middle of battle. They were in the heat of battle. There was no time for making a sukkah. There was no time for looking for a lulav. Sukkot was gone. And it says in Sefer Makkabim, another reason, an extra reason, if you like, a third or fourth reason, is that the 8 days of celebration were seen as some kind of tashlumin for the 8 days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret that they had lost. That's an extra thing that says that. Okay, yes.
First question, is the Sefer of Makkabim in English? Is it something that's easily accessible to get?
I'm going to stop working.
It's a
good question.
There's a guy called Charles who... It's something called the pseudographic, something like that. A guy called Charles, but out of a whole set of these books.
This is interesting.
So how do you go ahead and
find, for instance, I can show you. I don't know. I imagine that Rav Schneider, if Rav Schneider says he knows, then I'm sure he's right. I'm not familiar with the English version. This book here, you will see, you can read, is called Hasfarim Achitzoniim. It's a two-volume set. There's a few versions of it, but I think this is the best version, put out by Avraham Kahan. It's in Hebrew. Avraham Kahan. I'm just telling you, first of all, what I know. This is put out by someone called Avraham Kahan, who was a professor of history in New Ancient Greek and what have you, and he wrote a very, I think, the best edition with notes, etc. It's not just Sefer Makkabim, it's all kinds of Sfarim Chitzoniim, all kinds of extraneous books, some of which, by the way, are not were not approved by the Chazal, shall we say. But amongst those books is also Sefer Makkabim, and that's what I know. If there's an English translation.
The other question concerning the miracle lasted 8 days. But really, the 8 days of the oil lasting 8 days. But really, it lasted 1 day. That was really the. Why isn't Hanukkah 1 day? Because it Pas Shemen. The amount was so small, it could have lasted 1 day. But the fact that it's spread over 8 days isn't a whole different story. That's the question I want to post to you.
I haven't understood the question. I'm sorry. Can you repeat it, please?
7 days. Okay, so 7 days.
What you're asking is why the miracle was only 7 days. This is a well-known question, discussed by many authorities. Why is the Ness there was no nes for 8 days.
Right.
The oil was sufficient in the natural way of things, normal way of things, so one day.
They could use any oil on that one because there's a lot of, but he answered this question. 8 days
because that's what happened in the
All right. So if you wish to ask the question in that way, okay. If you wish to answer the question in that way, the Maharal also answers that question, the question that you asked, in the same book that I quoted from earlier, Ner Mitzvah. The Maharal says that this is not true. Those who ask this question, he says he doesn't understand this question at all. Because if a quantity of oil, shall we say for argument's sake, this size, this amount, should have lasted one day, and it lasted 8 days, that means that every day only an eighth was burnt, was consumed, right? So even on the first day there was a miracle. Because the first day, instead of the entire amount being consumed, only an eighth part of it was consumed.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a technical excuse, which is true. Logically and physically, it's true. But that's not the real answer. The real answer is what we read here more than once. But that's the whole point. All these other questions are no longer relevant if you take into account all the things that we just learned in the shiur. This shiur just discussed reasons for 8 days, because it took them 8 days to put the mikdash back in order. Because it's first of all, the whole inyan, it should have been 7 days, it was 8 days because it's a Chanukah of the Mizbeach, and normally it would be seven, but here there was the preparations involved, therefore it was 8 days. There was also the reason given in Sefer Makabim that it was a kind of Tashlumim for Sukkot, which they had missed, they were unable to celebrate, and that's 8 days, and therefore these 8 days came in place of those 8 days. In other words, we have several reasons given why 8 days. The answer that you asked about the oil, I think, can be answered as I just did.
Okay. There's a big Indian that the last day of Hanukkah, the 8th day is the last day of Yom Din. Where does that fit into this whole picture?
I'm sorry, one more time?
That's Kabbalah.
Start again? No, I didn't hear what you said.
The last day of Hanukkah.
Yes.
Zot Hanukkah.
Yes.
There's a concept that it's quote unquote the last day. You can still do, you know, the Yom Din hasn't been, the gates of the book hasn't been fully closed.
And
how does that fit into this whole picture? Does that fit into the last piece that it's...
It doesn't fit into anything that I said. I would defer to Rav Schneider, my mystical friend. He will explain such things to you.
Not everything is I don't believe it has anything to do.
I'm asking you because there's this whole.
I don't believe it has anything to do with anything that we discussed here this evening.
No,
and maybe Rav Schneider could elaborate on that later. Yes.
So, we said in a couple of sources. You mentioned that the Maccabim, the Chashmonaim, they found eight shikurim of Bazel.
Yes.
So my question is that in the Beit HaMikdash they used in the menorah was six branches or seven branches. Why wasn't six enough? If they wanted to make a menorah, now today we have a Chanukiah. And the Beit HaMikdash, they had a menorah.
No, this is a question of gears. I don't think
it's possible. It's a mistake what it says here. When it says eight, it should maybe be seven. It more logically, it should have been seven because they were trying to create. They did create a menorah for the mikdash. The mikdash, the menorah of the mikdash, is as we know seven. Has seven branches, not eight.
8 days.
I would assume it's a mistake. The number eight.
It's a menorah.
It's
no menorah.
Yeah,
but it says it took them. According to this interpretation, it's not that a miracle happened.
I can explain. I think I can explain it to you. I think I can also explain it to you differently. And now that it just came back to me, now I remembered that I was asked this question once before, some years ago, and now it's come back to me. What I said. I said at that time as follows. It says they took eight pieces of iron, eight rods, but it doesn't say they made an eight-branched menorah, which doesn't make sense. There should have been seven. But if you think about how do you construct the menorah, you need a central rod and central pillar, and from that you have seven branches. So that maybe the eight refers to the number of pieces of iron that were used altogether to construct the menorah. Not that they had eight branches, but there were seven branches with a central piece holding it, which makes... And maybe the number eight was mentioned because it fits in with the other things, the number of days, etc. I don't know, but that's definitely a possible explanation. But logically, you're right, it should have, the menorah must have had seven branches, not eight. Are there any other questions? I wish you all a meaningful Hanukkah.